We're in 2 Peter chapter 2. In our Sunday morning study, we're following the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 is talking about false teachers. We have seen in verse 1 the human author and the recipient of this epistle. Verse 2, we saw the salutation. Now we're studying the principle of false teachers being judged. Found out that God spared not the angels of sin. We also saw in this section that God spared not Sodom and Gomorrah. We saw that God didn't spare the old world at the time of Noah. And because of the fact he set up the precedent that he has judged that which is false, why, he will definitely judge false teachers. Now, in our section so far, we have seen the exposure of the false teachers of the devil's disciples. We've seen the principle of judgment. In verse 4, we saw fallen angels. Verse 5, flood. Now we're in verses 6 through 8 where we have Sodom and Gomorrah. I want to read the passage that we start in today. We finished with verse 6 last time, where verse 6 says, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterward should live godly. Now verse 7, where we start, is talking about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll read some of these King James English verbs because they're a little different in the original language. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed, not afraid to speak evil of dignities, or the word there is authority. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. It's interesting, in verse 12, you have a word there, brute beasts. Some of you know what the brute is. That may be pro football. Maybe your husband. And some of you know what beasts are, you know. That could be some disco or just a real animal. But what does a brute beast mean? Now, that's something else. Is a brute beast a guy that uses some type of aftershave lotion like brute? See, well, see, these King James words of a couple hundred years ago have to be explained, but they are meaningful. We start this morning in verse 7 and verse 8. Now, this is a difficult subject because we're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. We're talking about Lot and a lot of homosexuals. Now, if there's anything to discuss on Sunday morning, that shouldn't be it. Now, I don't like to discuss this passage any more than anybody else, but people are confused. So we have to read the Bible and the time at which it's written and give you the exact understanding of it, and then you have to make your own decisions before the Lord as to what you think is right and wrong, what is a sickness, what is sin, what is evil and good, and so on. Now, verse 7 starts, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. In context with Sodom and Gomorrah, we have, and delivered just Lot. Now, if nothing else happens, I'll give you one principle in case you get messed up with the concept about homosexuals. The word here for delivered is this, R-U-O-M-A-I. Word says there, and delivered just Lot. If you look up at verse 5, and it says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. That word saved is delivered also, and that word is phulasso. So this one pertains to Noah. This word pertains to Lot. Now those are both words for deliverances from dilemma. See, this is the flood. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. This was a judgment from God. This is a judgment from God. But here is Lot. Here is Noah. They're both believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see that coming up. Noah is delivered from going through that incident of flood, the ark and his family. And Lot is delivered out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God, the Holy Spirit, is so accurate that every word is meaningful. In the English language, you may have one word for delivered, but here he has two different words for delivered, and there's a reason for that. Phulasso is talking about a person who has accepted Christ as his Savior and has eternal life. But this person here, Phulasso, because of the fact that he is growing in grace by the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, making application to his experiences, he's delivered under the concept of phulasso, which means God is protecting him. There's a wall of fire around him. That's a positive type of a believer. You know, you have two types of believers. Both of them have accepted Christ as Savior, but one of them is interested in the divine viewpoint of life, and the other one isn't, just going about his own way. Now, this fella here, Lot, does not come under this type of deliverance, but he comes under the word ruamai, which means literally that God dragged him out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't want to leave because he was negative to the word. And we'll see what his associations were. Now, that's how accurate it is. But before we get involved in homosexuality, and you have some things to say about me that are not complimentary because I say this or that, I want to tell you this, if you get nothing else. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are interested in the Word, God will deliver you from dilemmas. If you are not interested in the Word, He'll have to drag you out of that dilemma, even though you don't want to go. So make up your mind. Which way do you want to be living? Do you want to be protected by the Lord and have a tranquil experience because you're interested in the Word of God? Or do you want to be a negative believer and have the Lord drag you out of Sodom and Gomorrah because you don't make any application of the Word? And the application is separate yourself. And you don't want to do it? Well, then He's got to drag you out. So here we go. So now I gave you a positive. You are going to be delivered. Period. Now, which way do you want it? The easy way or the hard way? Well, verse 7 and 8. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot. Just Lot. It doesn't mean only Lot. The word just is very important. Just Lot means he has accepted Christ as his personal Savior. It doesn't mean he's a nice guy. Not by a long shot. He's not one of these white hats as opposed to the black hats. He's not that at all. It doesn't mean he's never sinned. No way. It doesn't mean that at all. It means he has imputed righteousness, which is another synonym for the fact that he's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, here's what happened to him. At the point that he accepted Christ as his personal Savior, God imputed it to him, his righteousness. See, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God the Father made God the Son sin for us who knew no sin, he was sinless, virgin birth, that we might have the righteousness of God in us. So the moment you accept Christ as your Savior, God imputes to you his righteousness. When God the Father looks down on you, he sees you having imputed righteousness, and you have eternal life. So the word just means Not that he's a nice guy or a white hat. It simply means that he has imputed righteousness. And here is the word. Dikaios. That's the word for not experience, not walking a line, because he's never walked the line, this guy. He's saved, but he has to be dragged out of everything he gets into. He's his own worst enemy. So it's not talking about experience, it's talking about his position. Now get this next word. Just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Okay, we'll get the word vexed now. Looks something like this. K-A-T-A, kata, phoneo. That's the word you have for vexed. It sounds like just Lot is vexed or upset or looking down his nose at these homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah. But this is not what that means at all. Vexed here means to be overcome. It's something that has happened to him. He was so exhausted. It's like a person that just can't fight anymore. That's what it means. He's exhausted and overcome by the pressure that's involved there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then what was the pressure that overcame him? And then the next word you have is filthy conversation. Which it isn't at all. Doesn't mean that they talked evil or they used expletives. And this happens to be two prepositional phrases. And as far as being vexed, it's a present tense, which means it continually was vexed or overpowered. A passive voice means he received this overpowering, and the participle sets up a precedent of how people are overpowered. He was overpowered because he was exhausted, so we translate it overcome. But he wasn't overcome with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He was overcome under the authority of lawlessness. That's the literal translation there. Hupo is a word for being under the authority of. It's a military term. And then the word for lawlessness is A-S-P-H-A-M-S-O-N. And so this means to be under the authority of lawlessness. So here is justified Lot, a believer, who is dragged out of Sodom and Gomorrah because he has become overpowered because of the lawlessness that has been going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, Sodom and Gomorrah was in a state of anarchy. And this is actually a Greek word for the word anarchy. Law and order was destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, here's the point. When you have a condition in society that is prevalent, such as homosexuality, it leads to lawlessness. Homosexuals are anti-law, except they make their own laws their authority. And they call that lifestyle. But homosexualism is outside of God's law and outside of divine institution number 4, nationalism, and that's Romans 1. You know that many people in this country today who are under the system of communism are homosexuality involved in that. Homosexuality means lawlessness. Here, Lot is exhausted by anarchy. And if we continue in our country the way we're going, this will be our condition also. So, here is the condition that exists. Now, a lot of people say that homosexuality is a sickness or a disease, and so they try to cure it medically. But if you believe that it's a sickness or a disease, you're in trouble up to your ears, because the Bible says that God sets up a law, and the law of sexual relationships is between a man and a woman. And when you break down that law, see, then you're in trouble. And we have a country full of them, even in high places. Now, here's Lot. He's overcome, literally vexed, under the authority of lawlessness. The authority of lawlessness that destroyed law and order in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the second phrase here is in the sphere of lascivious behavior pattern. And they translated this thing, the filthy conversation of the wicked. So here are the two prepositional phrases, literally for verse 7. Under the authority of lawlessness, in the sphere of lascivious behavior pattern. Now that is the biblical definition of homosexuality. I'll give it to you again. What does the Bible have to say about homosexuality? They're under the authority of lawlessness in the sphere of lascivious behavior pattern. See, the lawlessness is the result. So let's get a corrected translation of the entire seventh verse so we can get it. And he, God, dragged out of danger, born again believer, justified Lot, who was overpowered under the authority of lawlessness, in the sphere of lascivious behavior pattern. In other words, Lot was carnal. And here is a believer who did not deserve deliverance under any concept whatsoever. But by the grace of God, verse 7, God delivered Lot, who had been overpowered and exhausted by the lascivious behavior pattern, which is homosexuality, which resulted in the lawlessness in that city. Now, the point is, Lot should have separated himself from Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I want you to notice, if Lot had used the word phulasso for being delivered, that's what happened to Noah. If Lot had used that word and separated himself, when he moved in the direction of Sodom, then all these homosexuals who were hanging around wouldn't have this overpowering influence on him. And by the way, he had two daughters there, and they were not in the process of courting or dating, as you can understand. He should have started to get smart, and he should have gotten out of there. And if he had used the word and separated himself from Sodom, then he would have been phulassoed instead of being half to dragged out of there. But it was Ruamai, because God actually dragged him out because he wasn't functioning properly, using the word and making application. So he dragged Lot out, plus his two daughters. Now, Lot is a perfect illustration of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who never uses his head, ever. And yet he had tremendous exposure to the Word. See, he lived all those years with Abraham, which we were studying on Wednesday night. Now, in verse 8, we have the continuation and the last verse in this process. And it says, for that righteous man. Now, I want you to see something now. Please notice again. We've had in verse 7 the word just. Now, in verse 8, we have the word righteous. It doesn't mean that, again, that Lot was in fellowship, walking with the Lord, you know, just before the Lord. Not at all. Verse 7 uses the word just. Verse 8 uses the word righteous. And I want you to notice, both these words are the same in the original language. Dikaios. Both of them. So now we know something about this word. The translator called it just here and called it righteous here. But in both cases, it's the same word, just Lot or righteous Lot. In both cases, it simply refers to the fact that he was a born-again believer, he was justified, and he had imputed righteousness. So that word, that just man, is just another title for the fact that he's born again. Now, what is this born-again man doing in Sodom? Well, let me show you what he's hooked on in Sodom. Then the next word says, dwelling among them. Now, there are about four different words for dwelling. We have one word. But here's what this word looks like. Egg, cot, oikeo. This word here means to dwell. But the prefix always gives you the designation. This means to be at home. See, that's one place to dwell, like an apartment. Well, that's not at home. Then there's another thing to dwell in a home, and that's at home. See, there are two different things. One, you exist. E.G. here in the front is the preposition in. So this word dwelling means to be at home in a place. That's the impact of this verb. He didn't simply live in Sodom. He was at home there. In other words, I want you to get this. He was relaxed in Sodom. Question. Would you be relaxed in a room full of homosexuals? In a town full of them? In a state full of them? He was relaxed. It doesn't mean that he was a homosexual. We can't get that from this passage at all. It just means that he went along with the whole thing and he wasn't fighting it. And he didn't get out of Sodom either. This is the same type of thinking if a young lady is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and she goes out with some guy on some wild party and she knows that she's going to get in trouble. She's doing and what Lot is actually saying is, step aside, Lord. Take that wall of fire away from me. I'm stepping out tonight. I'm going to have some fun. You know, there's nothing wrong with their lifestyle. I'm going to have some fun. I know it's wrong. Now you protect me. Well, you know you're going in for trouble then. And you know you're going to get to some party and get loaded and drugged up, and you see, a smart unbeliever would have more sense than that. But this is standing behind a false application of the Word of God, that God will protect me no matter what I do. Yeah, he will, but you may have to be drugged out of a place. So we have to learn a principle between phulasso, God protecting you by you taking in the word and making application, the wall of fire, and ruamai, as a believer, not making application of the word and having to be dragged out. Now, both of them are the principle of grace. He's going to get you out of there one way or another. So look once more at verse 8. We've given a lot of time to Lot. But it's probably necessary for the 20th century because most people are confused about homosexuality. It says, for that righteous man, which is born again, was at home among them. He enjoyed being with them. He enjoyed their company. And then notice, and in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. Now, it makes it sound like he didn't put up with this at all, that he vexed his righteous soul. So let's see what seeing and hearing mean. First of all, they're nouns. Seeing and hearing are not verbs, they're nouns in the instrumental case. And the first one looks like this. Blema, B-L-E-M-N-A. That's a noun. The verb would be blepo, B-L-E-P-O. That's the blips on the radar screen that we get. And when you put blema with kot oikeo, for dwelling at home, it means he associated with. He associated with homosexuals. And he went to their parties. And he saw things. And you see, the instrumental means by the act of seeing these things. He was a first-hand witness. He was there. He went to their parties. He saw what was going on. He went along. The word hearing is akouo. And they're translated like they're verbs, but they're nouns, and this is a noun again in an instrumental case, and it means literally by the act of hearing. So seeing and hearing here are nouns in the instrumental case, which means he went right along with it, and now we have the word vexed again. See, we had vexed in the previous verse, which meant to be overpowered. And there it meant to be exhausted and overpowered. Now, here we have the verb vexed again, but it means something else. And you say to yourself, how can you honestly use something else for the same word? Well, it's not the same word. You have vexed twice, and they're two different words. Now, here's the word here for vexed. V-A-S-A-N-I-Z-O. And that means tortured. Now that's important, because it's talking about a soul. The real you is a soul. Before we had the word vexed, it was overpowered. He was overpowered by their lawlessness and their lascivious behavior patterns. They had overpowered him. In other words, he couldn't do anything about the situation. You know, when you walk into a room as a believer, you either set the temperature or you become a part of the temperature. Lot moved into Sodom. He couldn't take a stand there at all. It overpowered him. He was where he shouldn't be. He had no testimony there whatsoever. They overpowered him with their lascivious behavior pattern. Now, this one says because of being there and seeing and hearing what went on, he tortured his own soul. So he vexed before him, and he was overpowered and exhausted. And this verb, vex, means to be tortured. He saw those things firsthand. He heard what they said with his own ears. And it tortured his born-again soul. Righteous soul means he was born again again. This probably means that Lot, as a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ at the moment of salvation, received the human spirit. And when he began to study some of the Word, or heard some of the Word, God the Holy Spirit taught his human spirit the Word of God. And it moved into his soul. And he was negative to the Word of God, but there was some remnant of the Word in his soul. And it caused him to be tortured by being at home with these homosexuals, by these things. So there was a conflict inside of Lot. And so this verse says, and tortured his righteous soul. And then the next phrase says, day in and day out. That means he stuck it out. Day in and day out, he tortured his righteous soul. Now I want you to notice, he didn't separate himself. You're told to separate yourself. He didn't do it. And it overpowered him. And he was torturing his own soul, and it was at that point that God dragged him out. So he stuck it out day by day and tortured his righteous soul with their unlawful deeds, and it says because of their lawless activity. So this brings us to the point of the tortured soul of a believer. So we'll get a correct translation. I'll give you some points on it of how a believer can torture his soul. Now, if you think that homosexuality is a sickness or a disease, Bible says it's a sin. So if a homosexual goes to a doctor or a psychiatrist, he can't cure that because it's sin and only God can cure sin. If you think it's okay for you to associate with him or coexist or allow it to go on, well, here's what happens. You're torturing your own soul. It's the principle of lawlessness. Here's the corrected translation so far. The righteous one, dwelling among them, the born-again Lot, being home among them, by the act of seeing and by the act of hearing, constantly tortured, present tense, his born-again soul, day in and day out because of their lawless production. Now, being at home again means that he had a social life with them. He's a born-again believer having social life with homosexuals. Well, here is the soul, and here's how you can torture your soul. Here is your soul. You have self-consciousness, mentality. You have volitions, emotions, and a conscience with the Norman standards, and we all have an old sin nature that we're born with. Now, the soul has self-consciousness, and self-consciousness means awareness, which means, first of all, being aware or occupied with the person of Jesus Christ. But in order to be occupied with the person of Christ, you have to take in the Word of God. His awareness, his torture in his soul, he was aware, he was painfully aware in his self-consciousness of things that were around him which were anti-biblical. So it means to have a mental attitude, sin, and we call that a guilt complex because of being involved with it. And that's where the torture of the soul begins. You're aware of your circumstances. You're aware of the divine viewpoint, and it's torturing you. So he had a guilt feeling, a guilt complex about being there, and was a carryover from what word he had learned, either through Abraham or some other method. Now, in his mentality of his soul, he has human viewpoint. He's associating with them. He's fellowshipping, as it were. He accepted these people as they were. This is the fast crowd of Proverbs. And they were the fast crowd at this time, and they were the homosexuals. And he accepted them, and he went along with them. You know, they have their rights to have their own style of lifestyle. That's human viewpoint. You're not supposed to associate with them. It's a sin. Thirdly, in his volition, where you make decisions, from the standpoint of the Word of God, he didn't separate himself from them. The Word says to separate. So he is minus this decision to separate himself, and being minus the separation principle, that's how he got into human viewpoint. And it just rubbed off. And he became exhausted, overpowered, trying to keep up with the divine viewpoint versus the human viewpoint. And apparently Lot never ever witnessed in Sodom and Gomorrah and never ever had an impact or a convert. Now, in his emotions here, he doesn't have appreciation for the Lord or for the things of the Lord, but he has appreciation for details. Emphasis on the details of life. And he's associating with them and their parties and whatever is going on. It's a social function. That's what dwell means. And he does not appreciate the Word or appreciate the Lord. Norms and standards. Pardon me. His norms and standards were false, leading to rationalism. He rationalized. He shouldn't have been there, but he rationalized. And so that's his human viewpoint. His old sin nature was involved, at least to the point of maybe approbation lust. See, Lot was a rare type among them. They're all homosexuals. And apparently he performed a lot of human good. So apparently they thought of him as a nice guy. Now, all through you have a tortured soul. A believer who stays out of fellowship with the Lord, associates with unbelievers, or in some form of a practice such as this, winds up with a tortured soul. Now, what is worse than this, remember that Lot has two daughters, and they have tortured souls too. These two daughters were raised in a homosexual society. And there was, as it were, no Word of God in the home, no divine viewpoint. Otherwise, he couldn't still remain there. So the Word wasn't taught. There was no exposure to it. And you know what happened as a result of that. When these two girls got out of town with Lot, see, they had missed the boat entirely. And both of them, being women, wanted children. And so we have Operation Incest. See, they never became lesbians, being involved in the homosexual activities there. But we have Operation Incest. Why? Because they're the products of their environment. To the extent of rejection of the Word of God. They became past feeling and had a seared conscience. And so here are two women with tortured souls, as per incest with their father. They have men who are designed for them. They're raised in the society of homosexualities with people who don't want to have anything to do with women. So now what are they going to do? Raised in that society, well, they have incest. And their tortured souls was manifest in incest, and so is his also. Now, in verse 9, we start the good part where I want it to be. Believe me, I don't like to discuss homosexuality. They make me sick. But the Bible is the Bible. We teach what it says, and that's it. In verse 9, we start the apodosis. Now, remember, before we leave this, in every case so far in 2 Peter 2, we have the certainty of divine judgment. We have the divine judgment of the fallen angels who tried to infiltrate the human race by cohabiting with women. We have divine judgment of the world at the time of flood. Noah was delivered. Noah was a man who walked with the Lord. Philosa, wall of fire. We have Lot delivered out of Sodom and Gomorrah, a homosexual society, utterly lawless, and he's dragged out because he's not functioning before the Lord. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. Now, in verses 9 through 16, we have probably one of the most difficult passages in the New Testament. We have a lot of words which only occur once. Even the explanation of the fact that a word only occurs once is difficult because that they call that a hapax legomena. Now, that's how difficult it is. So we have a very difficult type of grammar here in the syntax of this section, but we have a good principle. In verse 9, it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Would you believe that that word godly refers to Lot? Now get a load of this. This is interesting. Lot is out of it. He's called just. He's called righteous. He's called godly. If there's anything that he isn't, it's godly. Now, here's the grace of God again. Here you have accepted Christ as your Savior, and you have eternal life. You can't lose eternal life. You may be out of fellowship. You may not be interested in the Word of God, but you see, the Bible always emphasizes your position in Christ. Always looks at the head. You are in union with Christ. You are a child of God. You are born again. You have the righteousness of God imputed unto you. And when God looks at you, he's not looking at your feet, how you're walking. He's looking at your position here. So Lot, even though he's out of it, is just. Lot, even though he's out of it, is righteous. Lot, even though he's out of it, is godly, which means he has eternal life. It's not talking about his experience here. So here's something that he did that was really great. He did a lot of things that were wrong, but one time or another, he accepted Christ as his Savior, and whenever his ministry, whatever, was through, why, he was absent from the body and face-to-face with the Lord. Now, I want you to notice, because our time's up, this next phrase, because you go right back to where all the answers are. Where are all the answers found in God's essence? And the word you have coming up now in verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly, the word temptations, is catastrophe. He drug him out. The word deliver here is ruomai. He drug him out. God knows how to drag out that believer who's dragging his feet from catastrophe, the catastrophe of Sodom and Gomorrah. But I want you to notice this here. The Lord knoweth. Omniscience. He knows. That's the part of his character. All the answers are found in the character of God. He knows I have accepted him as my personal Savior. He knows that you have accepted Him as your personal Savior. And because of the basis on that, it's encouraging. I'm a child of God, you are. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to walk in the light. And when we fail, all you have to do is confess that sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive you that sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, then that wall of fire will philosophize you, will deliver you, will protect you. But if you're not interested in the Word, He knows that too, but you have made that decision, you'll have to be drug out of that situation. And it won't be pleasant at all, because whom the Lord loves, He chastens. So this is interesting. When you thank the Lord for deliverance, make sure you know which one it is. Phulasso or rheuma. Make sure you know that He drug you out of that joint, or He delivered you and protected you from it because you took the Word and you applied it to your situation and you didn't go where angels failed to tread. See, Lot moved into Sodom, and Sodom moved into Lot. And he was told not to go there. But he wanted that property because he wanted to have that nice Jordan Valley as his inheritance. And he never got it because the Lord destroyed it. And Abraham was the one who trusted the Lord for his inheritance, and he got it all. That's the background for this. We'll take it up next time with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the following portion of our service this morning are for those who may be here without Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've been raised in a Christian family. Maybe you've gone to church all your life. Maybe you've listened to radio programs. Regardless, we want you to know, as you're sitting here this morning with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, that God has a purpose for your life. God's purpose for your life begins when you accept Christ as your Savior. We're not going to embarrass you by asking you to tell us whether you did or whether you didn't accept Christ as Savior. If you want more information about salvation or the Christian way of life, we'd be glad to talk with you. We want you to know that as you're sitting there this morning, that you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and have eternal life. You can be the recipient of God's matchless grace and love. Scripture says, Galatians 3:26, we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The Scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord Jesus Christ stood before the people, and He said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You may say, I don't understand it all. I don't know what he means when he says, believe on me. The only thing that you need to have eternal life is to believe on the fact that Jesus Christ took your place on the cross. He was your substitute. He died for you. When you say to yourself, I don't understand it all, but the best way I know how, I'm accepting Christ as my Savior, I realize that he took my place on the cross. I realize that he died for me. At that moment, you have eternal life. And at that moment, God just pours out so many things on you, it takes most of your life to understand them all. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ came into his own. His own received him not, his own people. But to them that received him, to them gave he the power, the authority, to become the sons of God. For them to believe on his name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to study this portion of Scripture. We're thankful for the emphasis on deliverance, that you will deliver us out of, through, or around, that you are our deliverer. We're thankful as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can take your word, make application of it to our experience, and really experience that wall of fire, that protection around us. We ask that there wouldn't be one leaving here this morning having not accepted Christ as Savior. We thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.